Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Shoot, with a few weeks to the draft, Mel Kiper might as well be the president at this point.
Facts.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Ogwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Ryan Clark, our ESPN NFL analyst, going to join us in about a half hour around here. We've got that, an important ruling from the NCAA coming down, so you know we've got to get in on that. A little one and done coming your way later. And an interesting revelation from one of the brightest young stars in the NBA, a reminder of where we've come from and what we still have lying ahead of us in some very, very serious stuff. But, Janae, we also had something that is now, I think, a little more common in the world of sports than I ever expected. A second pro day from Justin Fields today.
That's going to be
the thing that changes everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love that he's putting forth the effort of like, all right, this is the narrative against me, and I'm willing to show everyone that I'm here to work and I'm going to show up. And, of course, give us more content for the next 20 or so days.
Exactly. He understands how the game goes. But for all, in all seriousness, these multiple pro days are happening because NFL teams can't do private workouts because of the pandemic this year. But it is getting people to ask the question, is there anything Justin Fields can do in the second pro day to up his draft stock? Which is crazy on a number of levels, Janae. We've talked about this. Dan Orlovsky, our friend and former NFL quarterback, has talked about this. You're not seeing anything that should change your mind. This is a low bar, the bare minimum you've got to clear as a quarterback. The other insane part is that he's got to improve his stock to begin with, Janae, because we were just sitting around in the break here in the studio after our last segment talking about, could this just be the most elaborate smokescreen ever? Like, have we all just been so duped by the process and what we want to talk about in mock drafts that we're now going to look up and all of a sudden see Justin Fields, forget just getting drafted by the Niners, but are we so sure that everyone in New York and the Jets is solid on that he might not sneak his way into two in that spot? Janae, I wouldn't be surprised in the least despite everything we've seen from the mocks, because ultimately we left the season thinking he was probably the second best quarterback in this draft class. And going back to that reality, the one that was born out on the field so many times, doesn't seem that wild to me.
Yeah, it doesn't, but I do trust Adam Schefter, and it seems like the consensus here is obviously Trevor Lawrence, you know, Zach Wilson, and then Mac Jones. That's like the top three. But things get interesting because if there are moves to be made outside of the top three picks, Junior, having the Patriots showing up in full force for the second pro day, what does that mean?
Yeah, this is terrifying for everyone. And it should be terrifying for everyone, because Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft 4.0, he had the Patriots trading up in the NFL draft. And Janae, while this isn't something the Patriots generally tend to do, this is something that's become more common lately for teams to do. I want to read you this stat before we talk about and hear from Teddy Bruschi on the fit with the Patriots. This should scare you. This is a warning shot from Mel Kiper Jr., everybody.
I'm ready.
But here's the stat. So the 49ers became the 30th team to move up from in the first round for a quarterback in the common draft era. 26 of those 30 instances have come in the last two decades.
Ooh.
Seven of the previous 29 quarterbacks have made a Pro Bowl and won a playoff for their team.
Oh.
Five of those quarterbacks have been drafted since 2016. So since 2016, we have had quarterbacks traded up for in the NFL draft that have made a Pro Bowl and won a playoff game for their teams. Their names are Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen.
Yep.
That's a pretty solid list in recent history, Janae, of if you know what you want, teams being aggressive enough to go get it. And so when we hear people like Mel Kiper Jr. mocking their draft that the Patriots are trading up to take Justin Fields at 10, when we hear Teddy Bruschi, our ESPN NFL analyst, going on earlier today on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin talking about the fit for Justin Fields and the Patriots, we should all be afraid.
The fit with Bill Belichick, I think it would go well. I mean, Bill's going to realize what type of talent he has in Fields. And then, of course, he'll mold his offense around him. That would work. But, I mean, we are talking a little bit of fantasy here, because Fields, I feel, is one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. And he'd have to drop. He'd have to drop to that. I think Mel's talking about that 10 spot that the Cowboys have. But I think the Patriots, they see Justin Fields, and I think what a lot of people don't know, this kid's smart too, and that's what the Patriots really value. So if he gets to 10 and he drops to 10, I think Bill would understand that this is a chance for him to go up and get a quarterback that would help him for the next 10 years in Justin Fields, and then it's time now to make a move to get him.
Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Ogwumike. Chinay, hearing that, I don't know how every other front office in the league, Teddy Bruschi is a guy who knows that Patriot organization, who understands it. And so for all the conversations we've had, should other teams not be afraid of this becoming a reality enough to take Justin Fields if he's there?
It really blows my mind, Junior. First of all, like the fact that, all right, the Patriots are seeing something, and normally, like, you think about them being ahead of the curve, and it's like now everyone's knowing that this is what potentially they could like to do. Why would that not move the index meter for other teams? I don't know. But it's just crazy because that stat, you said it was from Mel Kiper Jr.?
No, this stat was from the fine people at ESPN Stats and Info.
Oh, I was about to say, like, Mel really doesn't sleep if he's out here searching those stats and also trying to make these mock drafts. But that stat is ridiculous because it sort of tells you that one quarterback, and the one that might be the most potentially quote-unquote devalued, might be the one with the best value, knowing that the team is knowing that this is a great draft class for quarterbacks. It's just wild. I'm just curious. Will it be Justin Fields? Will it be Trey Lance at this point? It's sort of back and forth for me in my head.
I could imagine it. I could see a world where, Chinay, we saw in some of the early mocks, Mac Jones lasting all the way until the Patriots' actual pick at 15. I don't think that would be crazy, again, in this spot, because to your point, it used to be if the Patriots showed interest in somebody, everyone kind of freaked out and said, oh, wait, maybe we should be looking at this. Like, that's been replaced by this Kyle Shanahan effect that's followed Mac Jones around ever since, mm-hmm. as you dubbed it, the Bridgerton effect there, the Duke of Hastings, and Kyle Shanahan all of a sudden helping Mac Jones look really desirable. And he's still, Mac Jones is a good quarterback. But, Chinay, I think the two conversations that come together here, Teddy Bruschi, a guy who, again, so intimately knows and loves that Patriots organization, is saying, yeah, if Justin Fields falls down there, the value gods that are the Patriots would probably take a swing at that guy for all the people that think they're just going to keep being trade back kings. And the other part of this is Teddy Bruschi, a guy who played linebacker in the NFL at a high level for a long time, looking at that quarterback in Justin Fields and saying, yeah, that guy shouldn't make it down to 10. Like, all of this feels obvious until you get in the weird draft discourse bunker that we're in right now.
Oh, my gosh. It's wild. But you know what's good, Junior, especially with the second pro day, that rightfully we're talking about Justin Fields because we feel like for a long time he's been omitted from the conversation. And even if it is a Patriots moving up to acquire him, at least it's showing that someone does value him, which means that eye test we had from the college football playoff actually is worth something.
It should be. It should be. We all shouldn't feel this dumb. We shouldn't feel like we're taking crazy pills. There are five really good quarterbacks in this class. I just happen to think that you've got four of them, one, the omission being Mac Jones, who have an ability, who have a special ability that you need, I think, now more than ever, that you have now more than ever in football, to go out there and buy you time when someone else makes a mistake on the bad team they're going to get drafted to. That's why whoever the 49ers take, we've said, is going to look good because that's a good team. And quite frankly, if the Patriots were to get one of these guys, they're probably going to look better a lot sooner because the Patriots spent all offseason throwing money at other positions and getting players back off the COVID-19 list from last year. So we've got all that to watch out for. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Ryan Clark's going to join us in about 15 minutes. Get his read on this situation. Ryan Clark was down at LSU's Pro Day before. He has seen great quarterbacks up close. He's seen great players up close. He's also had to live through this draft process with us, so we'll get his read on all of this. But coming up next, one of the brightest young stars in the NBA said something the other day that stopped you and I both in our tracks to see a young person talking still about the effects of COVID-19 on his body. We're going to play that sound next here. Chinay Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay Ogwumike Jr., the podcast.
We got Ryan Clark joining us in about 10 minutes here. In light of the news about Aaron Donald and some late night fisticuffs in here, Ryan Clark's definitive list of the top five NFL players he would not want to throw hands with. Chinay Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Ogwumike. Whoa, wow. What did I just do to your name right there, Cliff?
Get it.
We got to figure that one out here.
You're not the only one. Randy Scott did the same thing on SportsCenter today, so it must just be something in the air.
It must be something in the air right now, but 6 months plus into this partnership here, I feel like I should be a little better at that. So
no, it's okay. That's like the first time that it's happened. So, wow, I'm surprised you've even lasted 6 months.
That's it. You know, it's an amazing feat. Snaps all around for me. Somehow we turned this into a compliment for me. But Jhené Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, taking you guys all the way up to our coverage. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Nets versus Sixers presented by Indeed. That coverage is going to start here 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And we know this game is a lot in large part about who the Nets are going to be without. Kevin Durant not going to play in the game tonight now that it's become a back-to-back. Here was Steve Nash, the Brooklyn Nets head coach, on earlier talking with an interview with Mark Kasticher and PJ Carlissimo, who are going to be on the call about what they need to do in protecting one of their stars.
We have to protect his health. You know, he's a huge part of our team. He's come off. I mean, he's played basically 20-odd games in almost 2 years. So we want to make sure that he's around for as long as possible and as healthy to start the playoffs. So just trying to protect him. And we kind of had the, I don't know if it's a hard and fast rule, but the mandate of not playing him back-to-backs the rest of the way. And so it was a fairly simple decision in the end.
So there you go. Fairly simple decision there. PJ Carlissimo, by the way, who's going to be on that call, going to join us coming here at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. Going to do a great job there. But, Jhené, a long-term view with a star player like Kevin Durant for a team that, despite what Ben Simmons says, I'm sure they have hopes of keeping together for a while, makes a ton of sense.
You're so funny with the shade, despite what Ben Simmons says, saying there's only one ball, but they're playing it safe. And I do like this because it might be tough for us. Like, we wanted Kevin Durant, we wanted Kyrie, James Harden, but the reality is this season has posed a lot of challenges. Two seasons wrapped in one. You're seeing a lot of conservative nature when it comes to players returning to the floor. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Joel Embiid, you name it. So not surprised, but I do hope that this wait is going to be worth it because, my goodness, they have a short time to get it all together.
And that's the unfortunate part is for NBA fans, the second half of the season post All-Star break has really deprived us of a lot of the high-end stars we've seen across the board. We came out, Joel Embiid was hurt at that time, thankfully. He's been better now. LeBron and AD, and certainly what's gone on in Brooklyn. Jhené Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. But that kind of pales in comparison to what we heard from another NBA star. Because, Jhené, we've come off of a season that was played in a pandemic, one where we had a ton of understandable health concerns, not only for the athletes playing, but everyone else, fans and the like involved. But there's just something about hearing Jason Tatum, star player for the Boston Celtics, 23 years old, talking about what's changed for him since he contracted the COVID-19 virus.
I feel really good now coming back from COVID. It's a process. You know, anybody that has it, they'll tell you it takes a while to just feel like you did before you had it. Whatever, you know, with your breathing, adjust your body. But, you know, I'm feeling really, really good and hopefully continue to feel this way and keep going.
Jhené, he mentioned further along in those comments to having to use an inhaler now before games in certain spots. And we've heard this from plenty of people. And he's a 23-year-old star athlete, so he's going to feel understandably invincible the way that we've all touched at some point in our life. But hearing that from someone that young, Jhené, is, I think, a good reminder for everyone that death was not the only outcome for this that was a scary prospect for players that were going out here in the midst of it trying to make a living.
Yeah, for those who might have not found out, you know, especially after listening to Jason Tatum, you can just tell he is very real and just matter of fact about his experience with COVID, something that I think a lot of people say, oh, like, young people, we're going to be all right. Like, that's just what we hear, Junior, in our group chats and our conversations. But the reality is you have this tip-top athlete that is potentially even going to be an Olympian if he can be, right, saying that I struggled with this virus so much so that my body has had to find help and assistance in the use of an inhaler. Like, I have to use an inhaler before games now just to make sure I feel fully up to par when it comes to being able to meet the conditioning requirements of 48 minutes. And to me, that to hear that, I was like, wow, that's real. And, you know, it just sort of highlights, and I said this earlier because they asked me about the Celtics on SportsCenter, and it just highlights, like, this season has not been easy, even though we are seeing more of normalcy, you know, games and arenas and stars coming back and everyone playing, contrary to what we saw in the bubble. But this Boston Celtics team has dealt with a number of adversity And the first and foremost one is them, like, dealing with COVID. And then, you know, I talked about how, you know, finally they have their players back from injury. And a lot of people are critical of, like, the Celtics and Brad Stevens. And, oh, my gosh, they're not figuring out ways to win when these guys are trying to figure their own bodies out so that they can compete at a high level. And I think it's amazing to see Jason Tatum not only persevere and talk about his experiences so other people know, like, look, if he feels bad, like, I need to be careful and protect myself and what I've been going through, like, I'm going to keep pushing through. And then, like, to also see him persevere and, like, hit that sidestep game winner on the Portland Trailblazers, like, it's just remarkable what they've been able to push through. Because now, like, Junior, you know, side note, the Celtics are in the mix. Like, they're in the mix. A couple days ago, I was saying, like, these guys are on the bubble. They were around the seventh spot in the East. Now they're at five, only one loss behind the Atlanta Hawks. Yes, the Atlanta Hawks are fourth in the East, y'all. One loss behind the Atlanta Hawks to hopefully host a home playoff game. And so when we were critical of them, almost the same way we talk about New England, we were very critical of their season being 7-9. And we sort of have to throw in the fact, like, their quarterback, Cam Newton, got COVID. And that sort of affects, you know, it takes a long time to get back. And in that interim, those are meaningful games that players have to still continue to play. And I think now you're seeing another case of that this time in the NBA.
Yeah, I think players' invincibility and the way they approach it, because Jason Tatum is just saying this matter of factly, like, it's nothing. And I mean, you've dealt with plenty of injuries. I remember dealing with injuries. It's like, all right, what do I have to take to make this better to go out here and play? And then let's get with it. It's only later on in life you look back, like, some of the things that you did to get on the court or on the field look kind of insane when you look at it through your real life lens and all that, but it gives everyone else free rein to say, oh, they're young, they'll work through it in that spot. But we're seeing this, we're hearing from NFL teams right now through the Players Association that are like, listen, cases are up in our area, we don't have a set plan, so we're not showing up for a voluntary off-season program. These athletes do understand and appreciate that their bodies are their tool to make a living, and it is a limited window to do that, and so they're going to act accordingly. Much in the same way that my voice is the tool I use to make a living at this point in time. And I am somehow allowed to go out here and try and make a living with it, even when it sounds like this. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwemete. Whoa, wow. I just baffled me trying to say my co-host name, Chinay Agwemete, who I've worked with for over 6 months on this show, who I've known
for years
now. It happens
to everyone. And it's okay.
It sounds,
I know you
like
feel
this.
Bad. I want to hear it.
Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwemete. Whoa, wow.
You copied me. Play mine now. Play mine.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Where we go right here. Chinay Agwemeke messing up Adrian Wojnarowski's name.
Broke down, you know, basically the implications after Adrian Wojnarowski. Whoa.
And, of course, who could forget the timeless classic of me trying to be a professional broadcaster and T's going to break? Coming up next, though, we'll look ahead to find out what's going to happen with Thursday night football in light of some recent COVID. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter. We are pros.
Yes.
And so coming up next, since we can only manage to talk like that around this show, we're going to bring in some reinforcements right now. ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark going to join us here and going to join us after this word from 303 Products. Now, have you ever seen a vehicle at a stoplight or a parking lot that just seems to stand out because of its deep mirror-like paint? Spoiler alert, that is now my car. You've probably been thinking you don't have the money or the time to spend to do that to your own vehicle. Wrong. Think again. The new 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating is a revolutionary new product. It's going to provide that same level of protection and shine that you get from a professional detail, but you can do it yourself in your own garage. I did it in my driveway last week. Simple, not time-consuming, and an unbelievable result. All you got to do is spray it on, let it haze, and then buff it off. The buffing is my favorite part. It's a great motion. A lot of easy action right there. You're going to have up to a year after that, a year of paint protection, in addition to that jaw-dropping depth and gloss that's going to have everyone else admiring your ride on its next drive. It helps to repel dust. It reduces water spotting to keep it all looking cleaner in between washes. You can also use it on your car's glass, the wheels, the trim, everything. And now it's available at Advance Auto Parts and Pep Boys location nationwide. Or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com, the NFL player whose hands you least want to see. We get an expert next on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The NCAA. Maybe getting something right? Sounds crazy. We'll get to it in 10 minutes. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwemeke. We're
Nailed
presented
it.
By Progressive Insurance. Nailed it that time after whatever this was before. Mike Golic Jr., Chinna Achebe. Whoa, wow. That's going to be a tough one to overcome. But we are going to give it our best effort right now. We're going to battle through adversity, and we're going to get some help to do it. ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And there's only one place I can in good conscience start right now. We are seeing Aaron Donald maybe in some hot water over some off-the-field fisticuffs that went on over on the south side in Pittsburgh. And Ryan Clark put out a definitive list of the top five players in the NFL that he would not want to throw hands with. And Ryan, why is Aaron Donald every single one of them?
Because I mean it, bro. Listen, Junior, you know how it is, man. Like, we all have a level of toughness. In order to play our game, you have to. And I'm from New Orleans, bro. I'm from a time where you got to fight, right? Like, every fight wasn't bullying. Every fight, they didn't call cops to the school, or you didn't get suspended. Sometimes people had disagreements. You threw hands, you dapped off, and you went to recess. Like, that was growing up for me. So I'm used to it, right? I always say people mostly avoid fights out of fear of losing fights. And that's what I would do with Aaron Donald. You know, man, when you get into a fight, and y'all know how it is, you know, Chinna Jr., y'all don't absolutely talk like this all the time, right? You tighten it up a little bit, you sharpen your skills, and you sharpen your tools a little bit because you have to present to the public. So imagine being about to get in a fight. You're not going to talk like this. But if I was going to talk to Aaron Donald and Aaron Donald wanted to fight me, I would absolutely talk in my TV voice. Why? My TV voice is non-threatening, Junior. If I speak like this and I say, well, listen, Aaron, I don't really want to fight you. When I was trying to walk past you and you stepped on my foot, I am sorry. I apologize for putting my foot underneath your shoe, which made you step on my shoe and ruin it. You know what? I'm going to throw these shoes away. I'm not fighting Aaron Donald, bro. Aaron Donald picked up Devontae Freeman, who's just a short man, not a little man, but he's a strong man. And he carried him for 5 yards as Devontae Freeman's feet flailed in the air as he tried to punch Aaron Donald. Devontae Freeman's family was in the crowd. They were in the stands. And you know who didn't care about his family? Aaron Donald. That's not a man you fight. The dude plays with knives in the offseason. That's not a man you fight. So me, I'm going to pick somebody else. A lot of somebody else's. And will I win all those fights? No. But I would at least know I was bamboozled into losing them because I already knew I was going to lose the Aaron Donald fight before it started.
We would all take that collective L. Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst and Super Bowl champ, joining us here on Chinna and Golic Jr. If Aaron Donald's on my list, I would say like maybe after five because he was all top five. Like at six, I'd probably put Jadeveon Clowney based on the viral videos that we've seen, and you don't want to be in front of that man. And now he signs with the Cleveland Browns. As a defensive man yourself, Ryan, what do you think of what the Browns are doing and building right now in Cleveland?
Well, the Browns are smart, right? The Browns understand how they're going to play offense. It's going to go through the run game and Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, that very good offensive line. And then it's going to get into play action pass with Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, and some of those weapons on the outside. But they had to get better defensively. So you go out, you get Johnson, you get Hill to add to a secondary that already had Denzel Ward. And he also understood they have some young, good linebacker play already. And so now with Sheldon Richardson, with Myles Garrett, who's an absolute freak show, you add Jadeveon Clowney. And to me, this is Jadeveon Clowney's sweet spot, right? Because what happens is, like, you go to Tennessee, and they have no rush, and they have nobody, and they say, please, Jadeveon, come save us. That's not what the Cleveland Browns are going to say. The Cleveland Browns are going to say, you're going to get the best matchup possible for you. Now go win it. And even though he hasn't had high sack totals in the last year and a half because he missed half a season last year, what he does have is a very high win rate. He beats his opponent. He beats the guy designated to block him. And so now you pair that up with Myles Garrett absolutely wreaking havoc on the other side, and you have a defense that could be really good. After the Kansas City Chiefs, after the Buffalo Bills, we're going to have to start talking about the Cleveland Browns because they're making moves to win now.
Chinna Achebe Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Ryan Clark, a man who knows a thing or two about the AFC North, proud former Pittsburgh Steeler, but also proud LSU alum. And Ryan, I want to tap into the SEC angle here because I heard Louis Riddick, our ESPN NFL insider and analyst, go on and say he's talked to some people that think Mac Jones, former Alabama quarterback, might be the best quarterback in this draft. You have seen a lot of football in the SEC. You've seen plenty of Alabama here. How are people arriving at this point with Mac Jones right now?
I don't know. I don't know why you ask me. Cause clearly, I'm stupid. Because I don't see it. And if Louis Riddick says it, bro, and if Louis Riddick is talking to people that are in the know, you really know that they're in the know, and I believe Louis can read through BS. Maybe it's true, man. And maybe 2 years from now, I'll be sitting on the same couch I'm doing this interview from and talking about Mac Jones' 2 Super Bowl trophies and talking about Mac Jones' Pro Bowl and All Pro. And I'll be like, you know what? I was wrong. When I look at these quarterbacks and I think about the ceiling of their talent, of their physical tools, the 5 guys we're speaking of possibly being drafted in the first round, I go, well, Mac's at the bottom of those. And then I look at Tua Tagovailoa and I look at Jalen Hurts and I say to myself, these guys can be fine NFL quarterbacks, good even, maybe even very good. But I also know this, they were both better than Mac Jones for 4 years. I know that Mac Jones wasn't pushing either of those dudes to get any quality reps at Alabama. I know that in this day and age, when you believe that you are really good, when you believe that you could be the best quarterback in the draft, you don't sit around and wait. Justin Fields didn't sit around and wait for Jake Fromm because he knew he was better than Jake Fromm. He knew he should be playing. So he said, you know what, I'm going to leave and go to Ohio State. I watched the film of Mac Jones. Yes, Jalen Waddle is amazing. Devontae Smith, Najee Harris. Over 25% of his passes are screened. The others are switch routes and things dialed up very cleanly. Now, he does make some great throws, and I hear he has a great understanding of progression and offense. That's all fine, but he ain't special. He doesn't have special tools. That doesn't mean you can't be a good quarterback. I just want you to tell me in the last 5 years, give me the stationary quarterback that was drafted, the traditional pocket passer that walks into the league with a body that's already 40 looking, that's been really good. I'll wait for you to tell me. Matter of fact, when you tell me the one that's been really good, that can't move, that already has the body of a 40-year-old quarterback, when you give me that guy, I'm going to leave my house and go fight Aaron Donald.
There we go. Follow
That's
him on
how
Twitter.
Sure I am you can't find him.
Follow him on Twitter at RealRClark25 and wait for that video to get posted right now. You might be waiting a real long time to see that fight video, but you want to be around just in case it happens. Check him out all over ESPN's coverage of the NFL. Former Pittsburgh Steeler and Super Bowl champion Ryan Clark, kind enough to give
Thanks,
us some time.
RC.
Thanks, RC.
You guys have a good one.
You too. All right, listen, wise advice. Just don't fight Aaron Donald.
Don't do it.
Like there's nothing worth it. Like the longer and longer I go in life, Janae, the more I realize self-preservation is usually about figuring out what is actually worth going to blows over.
The only person, probably The Rock, I can think of, like, you know?
Ooh, you would say The Rock trying to go after Aaron Donald. Man, I don't even know, because right now at this point, like even when The Rock was wrestling, it was more show muscles than go muscles.
Play. Yeah, you're
Aaron
right.
Aaron Donald's got all go muscles in
That's
this
true.
Spot.
What about
That's
Francis
true.
Ngannou?
Oh, Francis Ngannou? Right. Yeah, okay, I can mess with that. Africa!
You're talking about pro fighters out here. Like, I'm going in good non-professional combat.
Come on, what is
people.
The Rock then? Isn't The Rock a pro fighter?
You're not going to make me do this thing to wrestling people right now, all right? Like, The Rock is a pro athlete. The WWE wrestlers are pro athletes. The things they take require athleticism. That is not pro fighting. Like, come on. We all
Ngannou,
see that difference.
Ngannou. That's a good one.
No parts on Ngannou. We separate the combat sports people from this equation in the Aaron Donald, we won't not, no problems, big
fella
category.
So there's no answer still. There's still no answer.
No.
Right.
At Chanae, at Mike Golick Jr., if you've got an answer in that one, because I think, like Ryan Clark said, we're going to be waiting a good long time. But coming up next, no wait at all, potentially, in the NCAA. What a new ruling might mean for your team in the future and right now. Next, here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. PJ Carlissimo going to be on the call for Nets Sixers on ESPN Radio. We're taking you up to coverage starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. He's going to join us coming up at the top of the next hour. Get us ready for this game and what the long-term outlook is looking like in Brooklyn. Janae and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Janae, This is a show that comes from locker rooms. It comes from NCAA locker rooms. Proud Stanford, proud Notre Dame alums in here. And so anytime something happens with the NCAA, our ears perk up.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a big one potentially on the horizon today. Big news about transfer rules in the NCAA. And what I think people need to get ready for in the short term, that's eventually going to normalize in the long term. Let's get to it, one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
One and Done is brought to you by 303 Products, premium protectants and cleaners. Keep your car looking like new longer. And Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic reported earlier today that the one-time transfer rule for athletes in all sports has been approved by the NCAA's Division I Council, a source tells The Athletic. Athletes in all sports will be able to transfer once and be immediately eligible. This isn't official until the end of Thursday's meeting, but this also passed a rule in normal years. There'd be a May 1st deadline for fall and winter sport athletes to tell their schools they're transferring, and a July 1st deadline for spring sport athletes. This year, there'll be a special waiver. July 1st will be the date this year. It'll count retroactively for all athletes that would have transferred before this rule passed. And Shanae, finally,
yes,
is what I've got to say
better
on this
one. Better late than never.
Better late than never. Never late is better, but we're here now, and I think what it means and what's going to happen in the interim is important, because I've already seen all the tweets from everyone. Welcome to free agency in college sports. Yeah, that's how it's going to work, especially in the short term, Shanae, because you know this. When changes come in any form, in any sport, whether it is rules on the field or off, what do you always see? People eager to test them out. Newfound freedom is something that can be intoxicating, and so I can understand we're going to see a lot, and we've been seeing a lot of people use this transfer portal. They're going to take advantage and use this rule, and I don't blame them. There are also going to be people that find out the grass isn't always greener. We're going to see more. We're going to see volatility, and then I have to imagine a funny thing is going to happen. It's going to normalize. People are going to see and realize, all right, I've seen enough guys leave and it not go well. I've seen enough women leave and the transfer not exactly work out the way they want. It's going to take a while for the pendulum to fall back in the middle. But right now, it's going to swing and swing hard. And I'm not going to blame anyone involved because, Janae, this has been long overdue. That same freedom that we see coaches and other personnel, normal students enjoy all the time in college, should be a welcome addition to anyone's fold in the world of college athletics.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times, we think of this experience through the lens of the college athletes in the sense that, all right, they're supposed to be loyal to the school. The school handed them a scholarship. You know, we need to make sure that loyalty is rewarded for making that huge gesture, right? The reality is a lot of these times when we choose schools, we might choose them in high school based on our hopes and dreams and aspirations, and then you're met with a stark reality of what it actually is. And maybe that's not where you want to be. And I do think that this is a move in the right direction where it gives flexibility to students to sort of take control of their own destiny. You make that first choice. If that choice is not what you thought it was, now you'll have the wherewithal to be able to say, you know what? This is actually probably going to be better for me. Maybe it's getting closer to home. Maybe it's changing programs. Maybe it's having a different access to whatever pathway you want with your career. Like, this school offers this major. Those are the things that normal students, and I say normal in the sense that are not in the arena of athletics, typically have that freedom, and it just seems like it's been deprived for a long time of the student athletes in their position just because they chose to have a scholarship or to play a sport. Doesn't mean that they should not be able to sort of find a way to course correct their own experiences as well.
Yeah, because they have a unique gift, because they have a gift that other people have decided is valuable. Like, people always look at this, I think, from a place of jealousy, just because we all decided your skill set was valuable. We all decided with our eyes and what we put our dollars towards that these certain skill sets were valuable. But you brought up, I think, the most coherent point in all of this, Janae. Everyone makes this choice of where they're going to go to school, of what they're going to pursue, for different reasons. There are people. I chose Notre Dame because I grew up loving Notre Dame, because I had the luxury to do so based on where my family was. I had teammates of mine that had to send money home from their scholarship stipend to help pay bills. Guys that had to grow up and be the man of their house way too soon. Guys that needed to get to real paydays. And until the NCAA is going to allow that to happen, the well-paid coaches, administrators, and everybody else can shoulder the burden of trying to figure out how they build and keep and hold a roster. Because right now, I know there are guys, there are women that are going to need what comes with this, the freedom to use this as an avenue towards the dreams of money that are on the other side of this. Not everybody is lucky enough. Not everyone can make every decision for all the same reasons in this spot. So
finally, something.
Finally. Finally. So, again, this will be official after the meeting concludes on Thursday, but a one-time transfer rule for all athletes being reported by Nicole Arbach and The Athletic. Excited to see that. But coming up next, excited to see the game tonight. The Nets and the 76ers, like Chinee said, a must-win game. But what do we have down the stretch for the Nets? A must-what for an injured team next?
Thanks for listening to Chinee and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.